Shir's Masech Techulin, Daf Mem Beis. We will begin Beis Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. Beginning Beis Hashem Yisbarach to learn the halacha of treifas, as we're going to learn in our Gemara, in the Mishnah, and in the Gemara, very extensively, that there Teretash says Bas Masad Treifas Leisechelu, and as we're going to learn in the Gemara, in the Mitzvah Hashem, that the simple pshat in somebody, in something being a treifa, that it's something that an animal that cannot survive. Of course, the question is, as we begin to learn the various halachas of treifas, we discover that there are many treifas that we know can medically be repaired. And the question is, if they can be medically repaired, why are they considered treifa? And there's a number of approaches to how to understand the Gemara. The simplest approach to understanding this question is that the way Ramosha and the Chazon Ish I saw both take the same approach. Their approach is that a treifa, the Torah, the world was created 2,000 years without Torah, then 2,000 years with Torah, and then we have the 2,000 years in which we are now living. When Chazal had to establish what is a treifa, what isn't a treifa, the way it was established was according to what was a treifa at the time of the 2,000 years of Torah. And the various treifas that we speak about in our shiurim, that the Gemara says treifa and achaya, that a treifa cannot survive, are treifas that during that time there was no refuah known to them. Afterwards, it could very well be that there were refuahs that were established that are going to be effective for these treifas. But once the halacha was established during that period of our history, that remains the halacha forever. Another simple pshat is that the treifas that are being taught in our perek are all treifas that are halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Once they're established as halacha l'moshe m'sinai, there's really not much room for discussion. Tosfos points out that the Mishnah we just began says Elu Treifas. And Tosfos says that is the preferable girsa for our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is beginning a new subject. And we begin now the subject of Treifas, as we just mentioned. However, there are those that have the girsa Ve'elu Treifas. And it's according to that, Tosfos explains, it's a continuation of what we learned in the previous parak, the Machlokes of Akiva and Rabbi Yeshevav, that when we spoke about the different situations which a shechita becomes disqualified, we spoke about ikur, when the simanim are not cut properly, chaloda, when their knife is not placed properly. And the question is, when such a thing happens, will the animal be in the vela or treifa? And the Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva ultimately agreed to Rabbi Yeshevav that they are under Vela. And therefore, our Mishnah begins to say that what we're going to learn now in the Mishnah are not in the category of Nevelas, that both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshevav, according to the Maskar of that Gemara, will agree that they are Nevelas, but they're rather the way to understand our Mishnah. What we're learning now is we're beginning to learn that they are treifas. Another way of explaining the Mishnah I saw, the Tosfos Yontif learns, the Mishnah points out Psukas HaGageres, when the Gageres is caught, when the Kuvas HaVeshit, they're a hole in the Veshit. That's really a question. And depending on the question, if that's a Nevela or Treifa, that will have direct impact. What is the proper girsa of our Mishnah? Is the proper girsa of our Mishnah Ve'elu, or is the proper girsa of our Mishnah Elu? So again, the Mishnah Elu, Treifas, these are the various situations of Treifas that apply to an animal. That means that if the animal is a Treifa, because of one of the various situations identified in our Mishnah, then the animal is going to be a Treifa, and of course may not be eaten. Says the Mishnah, what does that include? What that includes is Nekuvas HaVeshit, that there's a hole in the Veshit, and as we explained, even the slightest hole will be considered a treifa. Now the question, of course, is that if the halacha is that as soon as you have the slightest hole, it's considered a treifa. So as we discussed very extensively in our previous parokim, that how is a shechita done? The way a shechita is done is that you start cutting the siman, and when you finish cutting the siman, then it's kosher. But now let's think about it. If the way you cut, the way you do shechita, as we learned so many times, is by cutting the veshit, so as soon as you begin cutting the veshit, that should be considered a situation that your animal is a treifa. And if that's the case, or as we said, there are those that suggest that it's already in the vela. So how can that animal be ever eaten? So Rashi explains, since as we've learned, that the way a shechita is done in one swift action without any pausing, so that will not be considered, says Rashi, a case where you have a hole and then afterwards you're doing a shechita. It's all one act of shechita. Since it's all one act of shechita, you don't have a situation where the animal had an opportunity to become a treifa, and then afterwards it should no longer be kosher. The Rashi explains that sukas hagageres when the kuvas aveshit are not, and that were slaughtered, are not treifas. The halacha is that they are nevela. Because since you cut the animal in a place where the animal has this deficiency, then the halacha is that they're considered nevela. And there's a very interesting Rambam. The Rambam, whenever we speak about nevela, we speak an animal that's dead, that wasn't slaughtered in a proper fashion. Here we have a situation that, let's say, the animal died before, that let's say the animal has a defect, as we're learning now, it's a treifa. Rambam and Rashi seem to learn that even though they have this defect, which should cause that they're a treifa and not an avela, the halacha is that it would be considered, the halacha still is, that's considered a nevela michayim. And since it's considered a nevela michayim, it has the din of a nevela. The next case is psukas hagageres. Psukas hagageres, as we explained, is if the kana, which is the second simon, the kana, as we learned, is the windpipe. If the windpipe is mostly cut, as we always explain, 51% of the windpipe is cut in its width, and that's the case that it's considered a treif in the vela. Furthermore, the Rishonim point out that when we speak about this cut in the kana, the cut in the kana that's being described is a situation where it was cut in the width. But if you have a cut along the length of the kana, but the beginning of the end of the kana are kept intact, that will not be a psukas hagageres. In the Rikra of Krum HaMoyach, there's a membrane around the skull. If that membrane has the slightest hole, nikav halev, or if there's a hole in the heart, at halola. As we look at the heart, there's two parts to the heart. The larger chamber is on the left side, and the smaller chamber is on the right side. And as long as the hole in the heart doesn't enter all the way through the heart itself, the muscle itself, until penetrating the inside, it's not considered a treifa. On the other hand, however, points out the Ran, as long as it has a hole that goes all the way through till the chamber, even though it doesn't go through from both sides of the heart, as long as it goes through the one side and goes all the way into the animal, that's going to be enough that that animal is going to be considered a can be considered a treifa. There's a famous machlokes that took place many years ago, a big machlokes. There was a chicken that was slaughtered, and a girl brought a chicken to a sheikha to be slaughtered. And as she brought the chicken home, she said that this chicken has no heart, because she was confident that when the bird was slaughtered, there was no heart to this chicken. And the question was that, is that, if we're learning here that a bird that has a hole is considered treifa, certainly if it's missing the heart, it should be a treifa. This question was brought to the Chacham Tzvi, and he said that after interrogating this girl and the parents, what's the status of this chicken? He said, and the girl said that the chicken was a healthy chicken. Then he said that this is a kosher chicken. He says it's impossible to say that this chicken is not kosher when it was healthy and missing a heart. You can't have a healthy bird without a heart. And what must have happened was, says the Chacham Tzvi, that the heart fell out and was eaten by a cat. And he says even further, even if it wasn't just this girl who's saying that this bird is missing a heart, even if there were two Adams saying that this bird is missing a heart, we wouldn't accept what this girl would say. The Chacham Tzvi has four tshuvas on this shaila, and he keeps on sticking to his position that it's not possible to have a bird without a heart. Rabbi Yonason Eibschitz, in his Sefer Krasi V'Plasi, very vehemently disagrees. He says that what could happen is that the heart could be missing, and there might be another organ, as we're going to be learning in this perek, there might be a different organ in the body that will make up the function of the heart. So therefore, the Rabbi Yonason Eibschitz's opinion was, you can have a bird missing a heart. And of course, if we're learning now that the heart, a hole in the heart, will disqualify the animal, the bird, certainly missing a heart would make the animal non-kosher. The Chazon Ish says that the contention that's being said that you could have a heart that doesn't look a heart like a heart is something that he disagrees with. He says even if one can make an argument that medically a bird or animal can have a different organ taking the place of the heart, he still suggests that a heart that doesn't look like the heart that Chazal described the way a heart is supposed to look like, he says it's not a heart. So even though you're suggesting, he says, that this animal had that you're suggesting, says the Chazon Ish to the Rabbi Yonason Eibschitz, well, there's a different organ that took off over the functioning of the heart. That different organ is not going to be considered a heart. And therefore, your point would not be acceptable. And he says, therefore, that the Chacham Tzvi is right. Nikav alev abeis chalala, nishbara shedra, if the spine of the animal, most of the vertebrae of the animal are broken, the nifsa chutzalai, or the spinal cord is disconnected. The Rishonim explain that these two treifas, where we say that the spine is broken or the spine cord is severed, is really one and the same. Because what the Mishnah means to say is that an animal missing a spinal cord or having a diseased spinal cord is an animal that cannot survive. And when most of the vertebrae of the animal are broken, that what he explains means that this animal, if that's the case, the spinal cord will break. And once we have a broken spinal cord, the animal cannot survive. Nifsa kachutshla. So again, if the spinal cord is torn, nitla covered. If the liver is missing, v'lenishtayim and a klum, and there's nothing left over from that liver, harei shenikva. If there's a hole, in the lungs, oisha chasra, or if it's missing. So I saw that the Mefarshim point out that the other organs that are mentioned in our Mishnah, the Mishnah mentions a hole in the membrane. And now when we speak about the Reya, the Mishnah doesn't speak about the membrane around the lung. And the question is, why? So the Ram Shif explains that the hole in a membrane of the lung will not necessarily make a trepha. It's only a trepha when the actual organ has a hole. Another explanation I saw is that it's very hard to differentiate between the krum, the membrane of the lung, and the lung itself. Because it's hard to differentiate, that's why the Mishnah did not speak about the krum. Again, harei shenikva shechasra, Rav Shimon Eimer, the neck, healthy lung, does not make the animal treif, at shetinokev, until it has a hole, lebeis ha-soni. The lung, of course, we know is what helps the animal breathe. And the Mishnah is saying that if the animal, the various parts of the lung have a hole, that's when the animal will be treif, otherwise not. Nikva keva, if the stomach of the animal has a hole, nikva mora, if the gallbladder has a hole, nikva hadakin, if the intestines have a hole, hakeras apnimis. As we're going to learn, kosher animals, one of the simonim of a kosher animal, we know the Torah Kedoshah says that an animal is kosher if it's malagera, it chews its cud. And one of the types of situations that an animal will chew its cud is if it has four stomachs. The four stomachs are the keres, the beis hakoisis, the hemsis, and the keva. And what happens is the food goes through the veshit, the esophagus, into the keres. There it goes to the beis hakoisis, as we'll be speaking in the shir, and from there it goes to the hemsis, and from the hemsis it goes to the keva. And the Mishnah teaches us that if there's a hole in the keres, the inside stomach, says the Mishnah, hakeres apnimis shenikva, even if it has the most insignificant hole, or shenikra roif chatzoina, or most of the outer stomach is ripped. Rabbi Huda disagrees, and he says the way to look at the stomach is as follows. The way to look at it is whether it's a large animal or a small animal. The doyla, when we speak about a hole in a large animal, the shear is a tefach. Once it has a hole the size of a tefach, that is an animal that will not be able to survive. But when it's a smaller animal, ktana, ruba, if most of the keres is ripped, then the halacha is the animal will be not a trefa. So there's two ways of understanding what Rabbi Huda says. There are souls that say that Rabbi Huda is differentiating between a big animal and a small animal. And there are those that suggest, so what does that mean? That this is he talking about a min? Is he talking about a type of animal? And that some animals are considered big, and those animals have one shear, and some animals are called small animals, and they have a smaller shear? Or that they are those that suggest that what Rabbi Huda really means to differentiate is in a specific type of animal, sometimes you have a larger animal of that type, and sometimes you have a smaller animal. Pinchas Mikaris in his Sefer Imre Pinchas says that we know that the Rimach Mitzvah Asei 248 mitzvahs asay in the Torah, and those 248 mitzvahs asay correspond to the 248 mitzvahs asay. He says we have in the Torah, both in Parashat Bukhokosai and in Parashat Kisavai, the Teichacha. He says the organ mora is the halacha, is connected, corresponds to Teichacha. And just like the Mishnah is saying here, that the gallbladder, if it's defective, it makes the animal a treifa, which means that the animal cannot survive without the gallbladder. And the gallbladder, we know, is bitter. The bile is in the gallbladder. What we learn from here is that a person, in order to be able to survive, has to sometimes have teichacha. We have to tell him you're not doing something correctly. He has to feel the pain. And that's the mitzvah saseh of teichacha is evidenced in the Mara. Says Mishnah Hemsis. So as we mentioned a moment ago, one of the four stomachs are Hemsis. That's, as we're going to see, the place where the food is digested. And there's a machloikis, what is the real word? Is the way, the name of the stomach, Hemsis? Or is the name of the stomach actually Meses? And the hay is just like saying ha Meses. Two different ways of explaining this word. Says the Mishnah, Hemsis, when we speak about the Hemsis, or we speak about the base akosis, and the way it works is like this. The base akosis comes after the keres, and it looks like a helmet. And inside, it looks like a cup that has many holes, and therefore, since it has many of these cup-like parts, it's called a base akosis. What happens is the food goes from the keres to the base akosis, and then from the base of koisis, it goes to the hemsis. And therefore, there's a entrance how the food goes from one to the other. The opening of the base of koisis is a double wall, and at least in the place of the entrance. As I just started saying, the hemsis and the base of koisis are near each other. And therefore, if there's a hole in the wall of the hemsis, which the other side of that is the entrance to the base of kaisis, the halacha is that that animal is going to be treif. But only if it's not in a place where the food enters from one to the other. If the food enters from one to the other, then that's a proper hole. So again, hemsis base of kaisis shenikva l'chutz, from not where they're normally connected. The halacha is that, or an animal, that's a treifa. Nafla menagag, if an animal fell off the roof, even though we don't see any defect in the animal, the halacha is, if we did not wait, as the halacha wants us to wait, 24 hours to see that the animal is fine, so then the halacha is that the animal is going to be considered treifa. However, if we waited 24 hours after this event occurred and we see that the animal is fine, the fact that it survived these 24 hours is a proof that the animal is not necessarily treifa. But the halacha is that we have to do a proper examination. What that means to say is that even if it doesn't, even it's a much more extensive type of examination than the regular examination of an animal to determine if the animal is a treifa. Because since it had this experience, we have to be concerned that the animal is a treifa. Nishtabru roiv tzlaseha, and most of the vertebrae, most of the bones of the animal broke, even if it didn't fall. Drusus hazev, if an animal was trampled by a wolf, that it put its nails into the animal, and the venom in those nails entered the animal, whether it's a behemoth daka, whether it's a behemoth gasa, the halacha is that that venom has the ability to cause irreparable damage to the animal. And since it has the ability to cause irreparable damage to the animal, That's why the animal is a treifa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Jerusha Sazev, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Tana Kama, and his opinion is that the animal that was attacked by a wolf, Behema Daka, since Behema Baka doesn't have the same strength as Behema Gasa, so that could adversely affect the animal. But a Behema Gasa doesn't have that ability. Drusus Sareri, an animal that was trampled by the lion, is considered like a Behema Gasa, and since it's considered like a Behema Gasa, it's going to be Trefa. Many Rishonim point out that these halachas are a halach l'maish m'sinai. There's no room for this for questioning. The Rashba disagrees. He says everything the Mishnah says is most sensibly. Here the Mishnah said Rabbi Yehuda differentiates by Trusas Azev between a whole in a Behema Gasa versus a Behema Daka. And we're going to see that this is actually a question if Rabbi Yehuda is disagreeing with the Tana Kama, or what does Rabbi Yehuda mean to say that, just explain what the Tana Kama meant. But it says, the Mishnah Drus Sari, an animal that was attacked by a lion, everybody would agree that even by Behema Gasa, it's going to be treif. Continues the Mishnah, Drusus Hanetz, if an animal was attacked by a netz, which is an animal that attacks with its fingernails, if it's ba'ifadak, if it was one of the small birds, a pigeon, etc., then the halacha is that it's treifa. Drusus agas, but if the animal was attacked by a large bird, then the halacha is ba'ifagas, even by a big bird, the halacha will be that the animal's a treifa. Zaklal, and now the Mishnah summarizes. Kol she'enba, ein k'may chayah. Any animal that would not normally be able to survive after such attack, then it's kol she'en k'may chayah. Any animal that cannot survive after such an attack, the halacha will be considered as a treifa. Begins the Gemara, Amar of Shimon Lakish, Remelus, the treifa in the Torah Menayim. Where do we find, asked the Gemara, where do we find the issue of a treifa in the Torah? Asked the Gemara, I really don't understand your question. Menayin, what's your question? And the pasuk explicitly says, "Obasa b'sada treifa lo yisechelu." So the Torah is very explicit that we're not allowed to eat a treifa meat. So what asked the Gemara was actually your question. Says the Gemara, Ella, the question that was meant to be asked was, Rems l'tref shenachayim and tar menayim. The Gemara is saying, as we discussed when we began the shir, how do we know that a trefa cannot survive? Says the Gemara, Deitani Sefer. And way we came to this conclusion that an animal which is a trefa cannot survive, because the Mishnah said at the end of the Mishnah, as we just learned, Zah klal shkol she'en k'mar chaya, any animal that cannot survive is going to be a treifa, mechlal the treifa and a chaya. So says the Gemara, where we see from our Mishnah is that the distinguishing characteristic of a treifa is that it cannot survive. And ask the Gemara, Menolon, how do we know this halacha? And as we said earlier, the Chazon Ish and Rav Moshe both are of the opinion that it doesn't make a difference if that's not what was the situation nowadays. The halacha is established, and once the halacha is established, that becomes the halacha under all circumstances. I saw that Ramey Salvechik Zatzal has very nice raya. We know that the halacha, when we speak about the mitzvah of Krishma, is b'shapacha u'b'kumecha. And the Gemara Masechta Brachos discusses what is the definition of kumecha when you get up. And the Mishnah says it's established. It's established by what the time the menachim, when kings who get up the latest get up. So he says, even though the world changed and many people get up later than what is the established man Krishma, but once the Torah established what is this man Krishma, once Chazal, better said, establish what is the Zman Krishma, then the halacha remains that way, no matter what. And says the Gemara, how do we know these halachas? The Ksiv, when the Torah speaks about the various different types of animals, it says, V'zoi sachaya ashtachelu. The Torah used the word achaya. The animal that we're going to eat is an animal that has the vitality to live. Chayacho, only an animal that's meant to survive may be eaten. Shenachaya, but an animal that cannot survive, loitechel. From here we see, since a treif is an animal that will not survive, treifel echaya, and that's why you are not allowed to eat it. Says the Gemara, ask the Sfasemis, the Torah says, ben echaya eshloy echel. In other words, if the Torah just says, zois echaya, and we learn that the definition of a treif is based if the animal will be able to survive or not, our Gemara would be most understandable. But ask the Sfasemis, the Pasuk also says, ben echaya eshloy techel. Says the Chassam, that the reason people and animal eat is survive is because they're here to accomplish something in the world. People are here to do mitzvahs, to learn Torah, etc. And animals are here that they should be properly slaughtered, and then we will eat those animals that will give us the strength and the energy to do mitzvahs, Hashem. So he says, in other words, the animal's purpose is for us to do mitzvahs. And the Pasuk says, he continues, he says that all of the animals are here to do the Dvar Hashem, and they're ready to give up their lives because we should be able to do what Hashem wants us. But what does that mean? To serve the person who will use that energy to do Dvar Hashem. So he explains, Zoy Sachaya, what the Pasuk is teaching us is, Zoy Sachaya, whenever we eat an animal, Ashutachelu, we should think about why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the right to eat the animal. And that has nothing to do with what we're learning now. How do we explain what is or wasn't a treifa. The Gemara, as we just said, is teaching us a raya, the treifa and a chaya. As we know, there's a very famous machlokes rishonim, Rambam and Rashba. What is the case when you have a suffix, when you have a question about something that's also midaraisa? The Rambam's opinion is that midaraisa, something which is a suffix is really supposed to be lenient. Chazal said that we should be machmer and go suffix deraisa l'chumra. But according to the Rambam, the entire halacha of suffix deraisa l'chumra is only a dimid rabbanon. The Ran, the Rashba disagree, and they say that suffix deraisa l'chumra is a din Torah. So now the Mari Asset asks a question. If, according to the Rambam, a seifik treifa is really mutam and a Torah, so the halacha is that when we have an animal, and we're saying, according to this man, Domer, what is the definition of a treifa if it can't survive 12 months? But if it could survive 12 months, then it's not a treifa. But if we also apply the concept of the Rambam, the suffix derais l'chumra is only midrabanon, so every time we have a suffix, we should be allowed to eat it and not even need to wait 12 months. To which they tell us a very important halacha. The halacha they tell us is that there are different methods how to deal with a suffix. It's only in a suffix that we have no way of independently verifying what the halacha should be. But here he says that we could just wait 12 months. Since we have the ability to wait 12 months, then we have no right to do anything else, even according to a Rambam. But then, many explain that as this is very consistent with the way we're learning our shir, and that is that even if we'll find an animal that will survive more than 12 months, That doesn't mean that the animal is not a treifa. Because as we're saying throughout our shir, once the Torah or Chazal established that an animal is a treifa, that becomes the status of this animal, even if this animal survived. But once it falls into the category of being a treifa, it's a treifa no matter what. It says the Gemara, Umanda am a treifa chaya, according to the Manda am that says the treifa does survive, menole. How do we know that answer? So, of course, the Ramban asks the question, why do we need a pasuk? Why would you think that it can't survive? So he says that, indeed, the question of the Gemara is not a strong question. The question of the Gemara is that how does he approach all these psukim? And he says it because the Torah says, Zoy sachaya shetachayla. As Zoy sachaya chayl, this animal that could survive a lot to eat, chaya cheres, the animal that cannot survive, loy teichel. Mechlal, what the Torah is telling us is that even though you could have an animal which is a treifa, it doesn't mean it can't survive. And it doesn't mean it can't survive, that's why it's not a treifa. Vaidach, and ask the Gemara, the mandam that says the treifa cannot survive, ask the Gemara, hi Zois, my avalei, what do they do with the pasuk of Zois? Says the Gemara, mibayle, l'chretar de beri v'shmo. They needed to teach us what Rabbi Shmuel taught us. That Rabbi Shmuel taught us, the Torah of Rabbi Shmuel, Zois achai shetachelu, m'lamet shetofes HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'kol min v'min, HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked up every type of animal, v'heraloi l'moshe, and showed it to Moshe Rabbeinu, v'amaloi, and he made a declaration, Zois achoyel, this animal you may eat, v'zois loy achoyel. That's the way Moshe Rabbeinu was able to understand what is permissible to eat it or what not. So of course, Tosfos asked the question, the Gemara Masechta Menachos identifies various things that Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulty understanding, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed it to him. So why is this not one of those things? Says the Gemara, Moshe Rabbeinu, so says Tosfos, there we're speaking about things that Moshe Rabbeinu himself did not understand. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to explain it to him so he should be able to understand. Here, it wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu that had any difficult. It was Moshe Rabbeinu was asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he wants to describe and identify to Klal Yisrael what's kosher and what's not kosher. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu so he could go on and show Klal Yisrael what is kosher, what's not. The Maral has a different approach to this Gemara. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know and what we'll discuss and have discussed, there's a difference between a Nevela and a Treifa. A Nevela gives off Tumma. A Treifa does not give off Tumma. And Moshe Rabbeinu was troubled. What is the reason that a Treifa doesn't give Tumma and a Nevela doesn't give give off Tumma? The Ben Yehuda explains that what happened was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachal, an interesting approach. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself would have picked up the animal, the Kedusha that would have been infused that time would have made the animal, all animals kosher. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want that to happen. So he left them Behema Achol, Behema Loi Toichol. If they had names and HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked them up, they would all be kosher. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want to give them names. Because if he gave them names, they would all be kosher. But how is he going to show Moshe Rabbeinu what's kosher or what's not? What he did was, he just picked up the animal without giving it a name, and therefore didn't get the Kedusha, but they were able to know what is kosher and what not. The question that many also ask is, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have shown Moshe Rabbeinu the kosher animal, he doesn't have to show him the non-kosher animal, or vice versa. And I saw that many explain that technically it would be fine. But I saw two reasons why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not do so. One reason is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's the ultimate Melamed Torah Lam Yisrael, the one that teaches us Torah, wanted to teach it to us in a way that there's no misunderstanding. Others want to say that the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it this way goes back to something that we spoke about before. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not have identified every animal, we would now have the question, it's a suffix. And how do we treat the suffix? And we go back to the Machlokes of Rambam and the Rashba, the suffix derives from L'chumra, Minatayra, the suffix derives from L'chumra, Midrabanan. It would have very significant nafkamina. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu deliberately picked them up. There should be no room for any questions. Vidach, says the Gemara, the opinion that says Zois, to teach us the Chaya, Trefa Chaya, Nami Baile, says the Gemara, isn't it needed to teach us what Rabbi Shmuel said? And how could we teach us that a Trefa can't survive? Says the Gemara, that's the purpose of the Pasuk. Ella, so if that's the case, and he holds that a Trefa can't survive, so the question now is Trefa Chaya Menole, how does he know that a Trefa could survive? Answers the Gemara, Nafkalim, either to Tanit Bei Rabbi Shmuel, it can be learned from another halacha, Rabbi Shmuel taught us, the Tanit Bei Rabbi Shmuel, the Pasuk says, when the Torah speaks about the kosher animals and non-kosher animals, and the Torah says, ben achaya necheles, or ben achaya sheloi teichu, that you may, that certain animals you may eat, and some that you don't eat, el shmanas treifus, that this reflects the shmanas treifus that we were taught by halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. The Rishonim point out, it's not the number 18, as we're going to be learning, that was taught by Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. What was taught by Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim is that there's certain animals that are trefa and some not. But we learned now, we just learned that there are 18 animals, 18 defects that make an animal a trefa, and there are those that are not a trefa. Ask them of a sulika, are there only 18 v'ikr? Those that are referenced by the word bazgar. Bazgar represents bukada atma, loka bekliyoso, nikva tchil, and simonim shenidaldala. And then says the Gemara, I'm sorry, the bazgar represents behemish shenachtika raglea. The next is chesaron shedra, if there's a defect in the spinal cord, galuda, as we're going to see, the animal was the skin of the animal, and charusa, which we'll speak about later. And ask the Rav Shev Shematza, there are another 7, which are also included. Buka de Atma, Lox Bakuya, Nikavat Chol, Simonim Shinidadlo, Nekrit Seral Mikara, Gilgoylish and Nechapta, if the skull got a strong concussion. So why are you saying that there are only 18? Says the Bar Mishnah in the Tana Dedan, according to the Tana of Am Mishnah, that even though we learned there are 18 treifas, but the Mishnah never said there are 18 treifas, and says the Tana, whatever was learned by the Tana at that time was included in the Mishnah, but to Shire, but not all of the defects are included. And they're included through the last words of the Mishnah that said Zaklal. But ask the Gemara Elatana the Baby Shmuel. Omar Shmanasa Trefus, he says there are only 18 Trefus. And now the question is, there are many more. Vayik Suleka, are there only 18? If you count all of the different Trefus from the various Shurim where we've learned, there are more. Answers the Gemara. The first question that we lent is that behemish shenechtu raglam and akuva lamala, if the animal has a cut, and there's a machlokes rishonim, what does that mean that the animal has a cut? Some explain that if the cut is by the thigh, some say it means by the knee, and some say it means by the ankle. The animal is a trefa. And the question is, if that's a trefa, why was it not mentioned in the Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Savalak Rav Shimon ben Elazar, because the Tana of Rav Shmuel is actually going to agree with the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Elazar, that if you'll do an operation by burning together that cut, the animal could survive. And since the animal can survive. That's why it's not mentioned. Says the Gemara, and Rabbi Shimon Elazar is teaching us, Laman Kamar, who is the, even though we're saying it can be repaired, the question is, the time of Rabbi Shmuel, says the Gemara, you're saying according to Rabbi Shmuel, since there's a way of keeping this animal alive, therefore it's not considered a treifa. But ask the Gemara, according to Rabbi Shmuel, treifa chayesvirle, the fact that the animal can survive or not survive, according to Rabbi Shmuel, doesn't make the animal a treifa or not. So the fact that you were able to say that we could repair this animal, Baruch Hashem, the animal could survive. But that doesn't make a difference in it being a treifa or not. There's a machloikus rishonim, where Rav Shimon Elazar now has identified that an animal, that this animal with the cut, wherever it is, can be repaired. Is that regarding every cut, or is it only in the foot that was cut? Says the Gemara, Elo de Savala Rav Shimon Elazar, he holds like a different psak that Rav Shimon Elazar offered. Damek sherihi, the halacha is that this animal is kosher. But the way I sort of was trying to explain the Gemara, what the Gemara means to say is, till now we thought it's kosher, because Rav Shimon Elazar said it could be repaired. Now we're learning the reason it's kosher is Rav Shmuel learns because it's kosher. And that's why it's not included. But ask them if it's missing some of the vertebrae of the shedra, the tnan, kam chisaron b'shedra. This is the most interesting halacha. The halacha is that we know that if there's a mace in an oil, there's tumas mace in that entire house. But the halacha actually teaches us that the mace, the nifter, has to be whole. And the question is, at what point is the nifter not considered whole that there's no tumas oil? B'shamra mishtei chulyus, if it's missing two vertebrae, b'selamra chulya achas. So at first glance, Rabbi Shammai is a machmer. He says only if two chulyus are missing is this. As long as there are no two chulyus missing, it's a treifa. Rabbi Sil says even by one chulya, we're already not. It's only then if two chulyus are missing, will you not have tumas oil? If only one chulya is missing, according to Rabbi Shammai, we'll have tumas oil. Rabbi Sil holds that even one chulya missing prevents tumas oil, but explains the Gemara the reverse will be relevant for treifa. V'amra Yehuda Mishmul b'kel treifa. That means according to Beis Shammai, until the animal is missing two chelyus, the animal is not a treifa. And according to Beis Hillel, it has to be missing one chelyah, and it's already going to be a treifa. So there the machmer answers the Gemara. The halacha is that what he considers, he adds a different way of looking at the Mishnah. He says, in our Mishnah, we spoke about a hemsis or basicosis, the stomachs that are punctures, the kachosh, the betarte, that are considered two treifas. He considers chashin and v'chada, it's only one. And now what we could do is apichada v'hayel chada. Take out either the hemsis, basicosis, and we could put in the situation of the shedra. Ask the Marveka gluda, where the skin of the animal was peeled off, answers the Gemara, he says that that's not a treifa. Ask the Maveka Charusa, if an animal's lungs shriveled up because it was frightened, that's a treifa. And ask the Gemara Mora, that the Mishnah said that if there's a hole in the gallbladder, the animal's a treifa. Man Ketani Lo, who is that opinion of Yosef Yehuda? He says the Gemara of Shmuel doesn't agree with him, and therefore Va'apik Mora will take out the Mora as one of the treifas, and we'll replace it with the charusa. But ask the Gemara, as we mentioned a few moments ago, that a shev shematza, seven more treifas, what are we going to do with them? Answers the Gemara, Dharma Behuda, Masna, and the Gemara speaks about the shev shematza. Buka de Atma is the place where the bone goes into the joint by the thigh, the shav meduchte, that goes out of its way, out of its place, treifa. If there's one diseased kidney, it's treifa. Tana, another example. Nitla tchol, if the spleen is missing, shera. Vamar aviyah mishmei the rava. Loishana al benitl. Only if it's missing the spleen. Avil nikif, if it has a hole, then the halacha would be that it's a trefa. Next case. Vamar rava b'chana mishmul simonim. Shinadavla berubam. If the kanan of eshed are not in their proper place, it's a trefa. If a whole rib was removed from the right place, it's a trefa. Next case, if most of the skull was hit, it's a trefa. Next case, if most of the meat around the keres is ripped, it's trefa. So what are we going to do with all these cases? Says the Gemara, if you count the kuva tam nahavad, there are 8 cases that have a hole. And Rav Shmuel is going to count them, chashvina b'chad. He's going to count them all as one case. So now, apikshev, so we have in the Mishnah so many different examples of a hole. They're going to be reduced to one case, and now we could put in, now we have room for 7 more. He asked the Gemara if that was saying, if something is all the same, it's all considered one treifa. The 2 cases where something's already cut, and that's the kana that's cut, the gageris, and the spinal cord. And now if we say when something's in the same category, it's going to be one, so then these 2 cases should be one. And now, as the Gemara, says the Gemara, the batzla chada, and we're short. Furthermore, ask the Gemara, the Ravir Mishmei the Rava, that her hole in the spleen is a trefa, nam in the kuvahi. So why is it mentioned separately? Says the Gemara, Ella Hani Tarti, the Afkus Leitepik, the 2 cases that we saw about the animal whose foot that had a cut by the leg and the animal that the skin was taken off, don't take them out from the list, and now we'll be able to have a total of 18 treifas, and that's how Rav Shmuel will be able to be consistent with the Brisa that says that there are 18 treifas.